Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're with Empower House this morning. Kathy Anderson is in, and we're going to talk about the good work that they do as far as dealing with the domestic violence in the area. Kathy Anderson, good morning. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Ted. I'm so grateful to be here, out with you today.
It's been so long. I feel like we need to have a session of just getting to know each other.
It might happen.
And who are you? And tell me some things. So it's been a long time since we have talked about this, but the issue is no less important. For people who aren't aware, Empower House is what?
Yeah, so supporting survivors of domestic violence in this beautiful area we call the Fredericksburg region, which includes Caroline County and King George County and Spotsylvania County and Stafford County. It's a lot of people, government circles call it PD 16, but we call it community, our communities. But we are supporting survivors of domestic violence, their children, and a whole lot of other things to try, of course, to prevent the issue. We treat the issue. We have a 24-hour hotline. We have a lot of crisis services, not enough. And we are, supporting in a variety of ways, going to court, going to the hospital, lots of stuff.
373-9373, 540-373-9373 is the hotline number.
I'm pretty sure you have it memorized. Yes,
almost.
You do, Ted.
Almost, but it's when we sometimes when we do shows and I'll go back and listen to them, I think we don't talk about it enough.
We don't. No.
Because it's there, and it's
like phone access is huge.
Yeah.
Because that is a way people get to us. It's like a really important way that people get to us. And like their friends and family members and colleagues also call, which if people didn't, you hear a hotline, you think emergency. Well, yeah, I mean, domestic violence is an emergency, but we're not 911, which we do encourage people to use. But we are answering that line so that folks can have immediate access. And sometimes they aren't seeking immediate access. Sometimes they want to chat about what's happening. And a lot of people are very, maybe even uncomfortable calling, but actually a phone call sometimes is easier than an in-person. And so they will call and tell us, there's some things going on. They usually, when people call us, they're like, well, it's not that bad. I don't even know if I should be taking up space, essentially. I mean, that's the message, like, oh, maybe somebody else needs this more than I do. I mean, it's very humbling to hear folks feel like maybe their situation is not as dire or important as someone else's. And, it may have to do with what's happening in the moment. A lot of people don't recognize that grabbing and other like hands-on or not hands-on intimidating behaviors are rise to the level of some real dangerous behavior. So, we really get to break all of that down. We have the right questions, we have the right training and expertise, and really sometimes being validated is what folks need, and they don't even know they need it.
Isn't that interesting? They don't even know they need it.
A lot of people are so conditioned that their situation is their own fault, for example, or, they just don't really deserve attention or care, if you will. I mean, I think of people who come to us and the last thing they want to do is go to the doctor or get some thing like addressed medically or health-wise because they're so entrenched in trying to keep the peace at home, keep their children safe, try to navigate, why is this happening to me? It didn't used to happen to me. Like, what have I done wrong? And people just are feeling sometimes like they just really don't deserve the time or attention of someone. And that's really humbling to see or be on the other end of the line, knowing that someone has reached a place where they can't even talk about their own value. It's something that none of us want to see. And yet, you know, here folks are showing up, just that, taking that brave step to call a stranger and say, you know, something's going on. I mean, some people know it's horrible, but some people don't have the words for it.
Mm. And they're all, and then the an underlying thing in so many cases, most cases, is financially, what's going to happen?
You know, we had a long talk about that yesterday, and that's why I'm on your show today. And I know I'm on your show today because you contacted me yesterday. But we had this sort of epiphany moment where we were talking about our housing program. And, you know, everybody was saying how rough it is now to get a resource, and folks where we've turned to resources before, that they're saying we just don't have it right now. As we were having this conversation, and I was saying to our housing team, I'm like, so, you know, if we had, you know, another $40,000, you know, it's just like hypothetical, would we like re-engage our partners around, you know, helping people to find employment, you know, really somebody concentrating on supporting our survivors who we have in their housing, we're paying full or part rent and just helping them get through and back on their feet? Or would we ask for more like financial assistance so we could, you know, write more checks and help people sustain? And, you know, we had a national partner on the call because it was just our local folks plus a local regional person that isn't in Powerhouse. And I looked at her and I was like, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, why just one? Like, isn't it an and? And yeah. I just kind of lost it. And I was like, we are talking about how we can help people more and how much people are at their wit's end and how high the rents are. And we at Empower House are struggling too. Like, we can't pay all our bills. Like, we're in a situation where about every year now, we're about $200,000 less than the expenses going out. And I said, you know, I'm really struggling having this conversation. We're talking about people in need in our community, which is our priority, and it's affecting, you know, the mental health and wellness of our employees to want to help people more because there's such struggles right now. And then, like, why am I talking about new programming when I need to focus on, we need to pay our bills? And so a coworker called me a little later who was on the call. Oh my gosh, I love her, Daphne. She's like, I heard you, girl, this morning. You know, I saw your face. Yeah. I think we need to do some things. I've got some ideas. I'm like, you know, I don't usually get involved in this kind of stuff, but we need to get that $200,000. Like, you need some help. And she was really funny because she's like, we need to call up Ted Schubel. So I'm like, you're a verb right now. We're Ted Schubeling right now.
Wow. I mean, verb.
I know. I was like, so then when you sent your email, I was like,
wow, talk about, yeah.
Yeah.
Timing.
Yeah.
That's why you immediately said, yes, I'll be there.
It changed everything. I'm like, I'm going, yep. I got to forward your email to her. I'm like, something happened, Daphne. Yep.
Oh, definitely. That is humbling to know.
Yeah.
To know that. That's, but it is something that the community needs to know. I didn't know that. As soon as you said that, I know we're all struggling, and I know so many organizations that are struggling, but I thought, well, they're in Powerhouse. They people respond to them.
You know, we don't talk about that. You know that. Yeah, like,
right.
You know, and we're not, it's not like we're shy about fundraising, and that's, you know, that's probably why you're like, oh, they're not struggling. You know, so we make sure people know what the need is, and we have successful events, and we, you know, reach out to the community, but something's different right now, and we're not telling our story adequately. And, you know, it's known that, you know, success, you know, that's really how people jump on board. They want to be part of success. You know, so we're not really saying there's not success. We're doing all the things, and people need more after that pandemic we had. You know, like, what we're seeing is worse domestic violence. If you can call something worse domestic violence, like, we're seeing, you know, we've talked about it before, we're seeing more strangulation, we're seeing more severe violence, we're seeing more people come to us with just a whole set of needs. If you think about some of the ways that people were helped during the pandemic with different forms of relief, certainly that was true for organizations as well. ARPA money, COVID CARES Act money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's no less need. It's still like post-pandemic crisis. Not specifically, you know, health, COVID, that kind of stuff, but it's other things that kind of came out of that time period. And so we're like, our employees are you know, on it, and they're feeling the struggle. So that, to me, that's what it was yesterday when we were trying to figure out how we were going to help people more or differently. You know, then all of a sudden it struck me. I'm like, you know, I'm going to run out of a little bit of energy here talking about, well, we can ask for that and we can ask for that. Like, for new stuff, like, we, I don't know what miracles are going to happen, but we do have to talk about our struggles, our own struggles. Yeah.
Yeah. Quick break. We're going to come back and talk about that and how we all can get involved in what Empower House does and in the community. Again, the hotline number, if you know of someone or you need to use that hotline, 540-373-9373. 373-9373. EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website. Kathy Anderson here, more on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson in this morning from Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. And when you come in, I don't always have a lot of, I don't always know.
We don't always know.
No, yeah. The show takes different directions just as we talk about things. And you just talking about the needs of Empower House and that Empower House struggling, that's kind of become our topic this morning. And I just wonder, what can people do? We talk about volunteering. We talk about finances, and those seem to be really big needs. And that's ultimately, I guess, what you especially know, financially.
I don't think I'm usually on your show saying help us financially.
You know,
it is. It's like help with this thing or help.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I can't like sugarcoat this. You know, we have to raise a certain amount this year, as we always do, and that's, you know, that's about the same. But what's not the same is we have a significant gap. We had a significant gap last year when our period ended 6/30/2024, our last fiscal year, and we've got one this year. And, you know, when we get some new grants, it allows us to do some new and different things, mm-hmm. and that's fabulous, and I can tell you about some of those things. But it doesn't impact if something happens, say, with the federal government, where the Victims of Crime Act funds have depleted. And so everybody's kind of going on fumes with that, you know, that funding source. So it's impacted a lot of organizations, including ours. So it's when your operating funds go away, when your, you know, some of your staffing funds go away, but you need those staff to serve people in the courts, to serve people who are calling our hotline, you know, we can't shrink away and say, okay, well, we're just going to cut our staff. I mean, that would just be wrong for people who need us. And I can talk a little bit about why that is. And it would be wrong to say the need's not there because the need is there. So, I mean, we just have to talk about it more. You know, I see it as like, I don't know that we can ask our current contributors to give more. So I don't know if it means, you know, we're asking new people to come on board.
Get involved, yeah.
Yeah. And help financially, and yeah,
because this is such a big issue. When you give the statistics, and when you look at the statistics and think about where you live, and just look mm-hmm. around your neighborhood, and knowing that statistically, things are going on behind closed doors that we don't see.
Right. So we often talk about the 1 in 4 mm-hmm. folks impacted are harmed severely physically by an intimate partner. You know, I was talking on the phone with Daphne yesterday, and she's like, Kathy, I'm sure it's 1 in 3. I'm sure it's 1 in 3. And actually, wow. There are stats that support that. But, you know, I don't, you know, it's the numbers, yeah, but it's like why people call us, right? Like if they don't get us sometimes and they don't get that validation, you know, what would stop that person from walking into their home, you know, and trying to decide, is it safe? You know, did he sneak into my house? Is he showing up? I can think of lots of instances where it matters if somebody can reach us and we can say, no, this looking over your shoulder that you're doing, like that is keeping you protected and safe. You know, if you need our shelter, or if you need a protective order, or if you need to press charges, or, you know, if you need to take other steps, stay with a family member or a friend, you know, maybe you don't have to do that forever, but maybe tonight you need to do that. I mean, those are conversations that we have. And a lot of people, you know, they don't want to overstate the problem, and they also don't want to turn to friends sometimes or family members. They don't want to be weak. They don't want their family members to dislike their partner who the next day they're going to have a conversation with that partner. Maybe that partner is the parent of one or more of their children. You know, they don't want people to think badly of them, and they're trying to think through, how do I get through now? And am I overreacting? And so these are like some significant safety conversations we're having with people. And you, that's not something you can put off, or, you know, not answer the phone, or can we call you back? Can we make an appointment? You know, they really need, when they need us right at that minute.
I heard this week that this is the 10th anniversary of the Ray Rice video coming out. He was the Ravens player and an NFL player who was strangling, I guess, he was beating her up.
In the elevator.
In an elevator. Mm-hmm. And that video came out, and you were in the next day, but just by the way we had scheduled it. And I'll never forget, all of us were just shocked by what we saw, and you said, these are the stories that we hear and that we all don't see.
You know, the significance of it being caught on camera, on video, like there was nothing in what was happening at that moment that would have, you know, paused or stopped that from happening. And that is what happens behind closed doors when people don't think anybody's noticing. And I, you know, it's deliberate kinds of stuff. Some people might say, well, that person, they just lost it, or what provoked them, or, you know, you'll see in the newspaper, you know, but they're such a nice family, you know, like all appearances. And yes, and there are really nice families. There are plenty of families where this isn't happening. Unfortunately, it is happening in some. And we talked about the numbers a few minutes ago. But what happens is, you know, if you want to control another person, there are ways to do it. And there are books on it. And there are there's training on it. But if you believe the people in your house should defer to you, and you're the last, you should have the last word, you're the boss, and you are going to have your power, you're going to control your family members. And that is what this looks like. And if you've decided someone stepped out of line, you know, then everything is fair game. And like we said earlier, the strangulation, I'm going to control you. I'm going to let you know I can kill you, but I'm not going to kill you, you know, if I can help it.
Yeah.
Wow. Or maybe I don't care if I kill you, because I'm going to let you know that I've had it. You know, and it doesn't really matter what the family member does. I mean, those are conversations we have all day long as well. It's like, it's not, you know, have you ever been able to really stop this from happening? And what steps have you taken to, you know, and I'll say, I don't care if you spit on him. I don't care if you had an affair. I don't care if you, you know, whatever thing that you think is the worst thing you could do, that you've been accused of doing, you know, does it really matter? Like, did you do those things? No. Okay, that's fine. Even if you did those things, that is not behavior that is acceptable. Yeah. It's not deserved. It's not okay. And it wasn't okay. I know I've told you about the lady who got up and spoke at one of our events, and she said, I used to think, she's a military wife, I used to think that my husband beat me about the same average number of times a husband beats a wife.
Mm.
I can't even talk after that.
Yeah.
even I was shocked. And I, you know, we talk to people all the time, but it is that thinking, it is that belief that, oh, well, that must be the way things are. Everybody is experiencing this. No, it's against the law. It's hurtful. It's a real problem, and you are at risk of dying.
Boy, and Kathy, these are the cases you're dealing with, and these are the situations and the conversations, and that's why then the conversation we had just about you needing money to be $200,000. You don't want, you can't choose, like you said, how do you choose, well, this isn't as bad as this, so.
Exactly.
How do you, you can't, you, there's no way to say this one isn't as bad, so we can't help you right now.
It's, it is really fascinating, you know, when our shelter fills up and how do we, you know, how do we make those decisions and are there partners we can rely on if it were to fill up or, but yeah, you can't really say that. And when things are building and someone isn't maybe even telling us everything, that's the other thing. Sometimes people don't tell us everything that's happened because even with us, they don't want to say the worst thing. You know, you might say, like, it might be something I would say and say, what is the worst thing, you know, that he ever did to you, like in your mind? Or what was the most, you know, what was the time when you were most harmed? You know, there's all kinds of ways to ask these questions, and you'd be shocked at some of the things that people have done. But sometimes, depending on what the relationship is and how much people trust in talking to you or just even want to say it out loud, even we're not hearing the worst things. But somebody may call us when it's not bad at the moment. You know, it's like they're getting through that period because it's not bad all the time. If it's bad all the time, you know, like it would be easier to walk out the door or, you know, right, find help and say, there's nothing keeping me here. But no, it's very targeted. It's very controlling. It's very, I'm going to show love in this moment. I'm going to show affection. And then it turns the other way. Yeah. How do you, Ted, decide who's going to get help and who's not going to get help? I mean, that's just insane.
That's the issue here.
Yeah. It's the issue when you look at, you know, we have a $2.5 million budget. People think nonprofits, I don't know what people think nonprofits are, but nonprofits pay bills. You know, we have to pay staff to deliver these really vital, you know, you have to have experienced people, well-trained people and people who are passionate and care about people. I mean, that was another conversation we had in that meeting yesterday morning. It was like, oh, it was so clear to me how well the three people who worked for our organization, aside from me on that call, we were on a Zoom call. It's like, it's so clear how much they care about the survival of the people we're working with, the domestic violence victims, their children, and their well-being, their financial, you know, getting through when the rents are so high, you know, how do they get on the other end of this? How do we help them through these times? So when we're figuring out how to help them and we have our own expenses to pay, like something has to give, you know, I couldn't believe I was talking about it on that call. I'm like, you know, we're going to pay our bills. We're going to, you know, we're going to make our payroll, but I'm like, I have to name it. It's real. You know, if we don't raise $200,000 more on top of what we would normally raise in a year, you know, at some point something will give.
Right. You can't keep, it's not sustainable. So that's the issue, and that's what we're talking about. And if you are moved to get involved with Empower House and even tell others about their need, EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website, EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Anderson here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson here this morning from Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. They have a funding issue, and you can get involved. And just check out the website. get involved with somebody or, you know, contact them and get involved. There's a golf tournament coming up, and that there's one opportunity.
Well, that's interesting, Ted, because today's the last day of registration. Sometimes we're full by this time and we're not full. So, you know, another sign of the times, right? But, you know, there's still sponsorships available, and I believe there's still teams. I mean, it's open right now. I don't know what time it'll close down. The reason they have to close it down, even though the tournament's October 4th, is to just get everything in place and communicate back out to the golfers when they're teeing off.
Yeah.
It's a really great tournament because those tee times are set. So it's like, you know, everybody's not backing up on the course. It's at Pendleton. You know, it's our... I don't know how many years we've been doing it. I was going to say the number, and then I'll just get it wrong. But it's
a lot of years.
A lot of years. It's great support for our organization. I mean, it's a nice way to get support to the organization and also recognition if you know, there's a business or a company who wants to, you know, have their name associated. So I mean, we welcome new people. We love our good, solid, you know, supporters who always come through. We have room for some new ones, and I think golf tournament on October 4th. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but we've always had great weather for our golf tournament. So
October 4th will be a nice day.
It really should be. Really should be. I don't think I could look ahead that far and tell you.
Well, when you mention it and talk about the need for new people, that's what we're kind of talking about this morning, to get more people involved overall in the work of Empower Us. It is going to take new people. And it was so interesting as we started talking in the show this morning, the needs are so great because there are housing needs around here, and there are pressures upon pressures, and I guess you don't want to have a situation where a person has to stay in a situation that's really unsafe because of that whole situation. What am I going to do financially? What am I going to do about housing?
I mean, if they can't get a hold of us, that would be the first thing. And then if there isn't a resource for them, that would be another thing. I mean, there should be a resource for them. But, you know, we did, you know, by retention, not rehire a staff person. I mean, it's real that this problem of will we have enough resources for people, and do we, and are we answering every phone call, and are we, you know, we I just talked to somebody the other morning. She's like, we were slammed this morning with phone calls. People are coming out of the woodwork. And so, you know, whether it's something that hits the news, whether there's something else going on with people, or whether it's just somebody had a break and they were able to reach out to us, or it's building, I don't know why sometimes we get an uptick. But when we get an uptick, the chances of that person reaching somebody because somebody's helping somebody else already, you know, there's a tension there. We need to be able to take that call, because if that person can take a detour on a different path than they might otherwise take that day, that saves a life. It's that serious. And I couldn't walk through every minute of every day saying that out loud. You know, like, that's not sustainable. But I'm telling you that right here, right now, because it is real. And it's something we don't talk about enough. And, you know, I'm grateful that people reach out to us and say, oh, this person's in need. Can we make this happen? Or that people are reaching out, that people are finding out about us. Just by being on your show, more people know about it. We've talked a lot about whether it was at the bank that they got their brochure, or whether, you know, businesses, other nonprofits, government agencies. We just had the library system reach out to us and say, hey, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's coming up. We'd really like to have your brochures out in the branches. And so there sits a box on our, they're coming to pick up a box of brochures. I mean, all of these things matter. And what we're talking about is, can more people help? You said our website, the donate button is right there on our website. You know, if somebody's so inclined to feel the need to give, and people give for all different reasons. Sometimes people give because it feels good. That's a great reason to give, and it matters. And sometimes people give, like we talked about the golf tournament, maybe it feels good and it helps their bottom line by, you know, helping people know they're out there helping. You know, so some of our supporters have decided to step up, and that helps. Like, every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it earlier, and I'll never – some of the more memorable shows that I've ever done have been with you on just – telling the stories or having some people who've been past victims coming in and tell the story. But I'll never forget the show, and you mentioned it this morning. Anytime when you mention the word strangulation, there's just something about that word, and it shows you what we're talking about here. It's not always just verbal abuse. That can be the case, but
the language has really changed. You know, people used to say, were you choked? Did he choke you? And I use he and she a lot because I'm talking about the vast majority of what we see and what happens, but the pronouns could be switched up at any moment. But, you know, it's just mind-boggling that that's even a thing. And it's not, I don't know what comes to mind for people, but this is like an intentional, I have power over you and your life and your death. And too often, that action, that violent action, does result either in a homicide right at that moment, or it results in damage to any number of systems in the body, whether it be it cuts off the blood to the brain, whether it be... damage that causes a stroke later. I mean, people need to get checked out at the hospital if this were to happen, and they need the expertise of the physicians and the nurses who are going to follow the protocol to get them checked out adequately. It's a scientific like situation when this happens, and this should never happen. And it has its special law in Virginia, as it does in many parts of the country. It's a felony. It's not assault and battery. But the damage that it causes. And so, you know, when it doesn't kill you, we've got problems. And then, of course, what we know when that happens is we know the level of likelihood of death goes up 1,000%. You know, it goes up 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, so just the fact that it's a thing, but then that it's a thing for too many people, is just mind-boggling. Why, you know?
To live like that is so. It's just unimaginable.
Yeah, and yet, you know, we're talking with folks, and it's too often that it is happening, or that has happened. So many things change in the body when it happens, and people don't even have the words to share it. You know, law enforcement shows up. They can ask a simple question, did you change your clothes? And, you know, that's something people wouldn't think of. And law enforcement didn't used to think of it. But it's like we know so much more about it now. But people will lose consciousness and then lose control of their bodily functions. Mm-hmm. And no one wants law enforcement to show up and, you know, you've got wet pants.
Right.
Like the embarrassment, where it shouldn't be embarrassment, like, this is something somebody did to you that they should be accountable for and shouldn't be allowed to ever do that again. Like,
right.
What?
Yeah, right. Kathy Anderson here with Empowerhouse on Newstalk 1230 WFVA, empowerhouseva.org, if you want to get involved with what they're doing. The thing as we talk about this and the need, Kathy, that you have financially, I just think you have made such strides over the years. Because you talk about law enforcement. Law enforcement, from the time years ago when you and I first came in contact with each other years ago, boy, you've come a long way in just educating. Area law enforcement knows so much more about what to do in these situations.
I've never understood those challenges of all of us, you know, getting in a room together and working together. But, you know, sometimes there are challenges. But, yes, we've made great strides. And I don't know 100% that it's been our education. Certainly we do that. But we do educate each other. And, you know, we have our first law enforcement agency in 2017 that invited us in and allowed us to open an office right there. You know, within their walls was the King George Sheriff's Office.
Yeah.
Just love them. And then next it was the Stafford Sheriff's Office. And we have such a positive lots of change happening because of that relationship. And then most recently, it was the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office, where we have someone working directly in that office with the detective on these issues.
Boy, and that just to have somebody to have those agencies so open and wanting to learn, it does help.
It is goosebumps for me. It's really, and I don't know if I told you this one, and I'll apologize for repeating, but you know, some people would say, well, you know, is that great? You know, you have an outreach office in a law enforcement agency. Like, do people even feel comfortable going? Well, guess what? People do.
Yeah.
People go to law enforcement agencies all the time with this. Not everybody, but some people do. And I have to tell you that I've seen instances where it made all the difference. But one I didn't even know about, I was giving our volunteer training. I was given the first night training. And I said, oh, and we opened an office in here in 2017 in King George, blah, blah, blah. Me, I'm going through the PowerPoint, and somebody raises her. Well, and then I said, you know, I understand not everybody wants to go to a law enforcement entity to disclose what's happening. They're afraid. They yeah. don't necessarily want their partner arrested. They, you know, they're afraid of a lot of things. And they're just afraid. Like, domestic violence makes you afraid, and rightly so. You know, it's like, who am I going to tell? How's it going to get back? Like, what's going to happen? So anyway, somebody raised their hand shot up, and she's like, well, you know, I have goosebumps because, you know, you helped me and this is how I got through. I've already told you that. But what I didn't tell you was how I got to you. And that's what I did. I went to the King George Sheriff's Office to get help. And I met you all.
Huh.
And that's how I got away from my husband.
Wow. Just shows you the impact of that. I remember one time going into I was doing something with the Stafford Sheriff's Office and just was in some of the offices. And I saw Susan from your office. And somebody said, do you know, you probably, I don't know if you know her from Empower House. And I was like, of course, we've done a number of shows. Yeah.
Yes.
And I thought that was just a great partnership. You could just see that, you know, she had an office, it was working, and you know, when
every day practically I hear something positive as a result of that partnership and Susan's work there and people's work with her. She's amazing.
So you all are, and that's the thing. During COVID, when we would do shows on the phone, and just every time you bring someone in to talk about programs that you do with youth and in the schools and you know working with teenagers to learn about what to look for. You just gave me a brochure this morning that deals with that.
I can't stand the idea that we're not going to have more time to talk because I know just in a second it'll be like, oh, show's over. But you know, like, we cannot not talk about prevention. I mean, we,
right,
you know, did get a new grant, one in 14 in the state last year, and we worked with, I'm not going to name the school, but maybe they would like me to name them, maybe they wouldn't, but it's a Spotsylvania middle school. And we went in together with their social worker, with one of their teachers, and for 10 weeks we showed up and worked with some young guys. And, you know, there was nothing specific or particular about these young guys.
Yeah.
They opted into the program. Their parents opted them in. And they got together, and we always served a meal. But they went through some pretty significant topics. And, you know, the whole goal there is to, like, get ahead of things at that middle school stage for young guys. And, like, how can they get the language and the verbs and the, you know, like,
yeah,
how can they learn more about expressing themselves so that they are young men who feel comfortable expressing their emotions. But, you know, some of the outcomes, you know, and that's why I handed you, it's like, you know, they feel more valued by their community. They have a greater sense of empathy. I was just reading something this morning about empathy, like what's missing in our society? Like, what would we do more of? What could we get more people, you know, to show at a time when things feel very divided or things
yep.
feel very challenging right now. And just the fact that in that program, that was one of the statistically different things that the boys, you know, that we found the program did for them, greater sense of empathy. You know, it may sound small, and I'm not reading all the things that the program did. It's just, what more can we do? Because wouldn't it be great if people on the front end didn't grow into adulthood and have the issues that we are seeing.
Yeah, it helps everybody. It helps them. They're not finding themselves in situations, and for the victim's yeah. not.
They can express scarred. Themselves, and they don't, you know, whether they witness something at home or whether they, you know, just take the wrong path because they think they have to be in charge or, you know, yeah. who knows all the ins and outs of why someone ends up doing what they do as an adult. Like, we have a program and folks are court ordered into it. And, you know, even they say, hey, I wish I had known earlier in my life the things I'm being taught in this set of classes that last 26 weeks long, you know, every week. They're like, my life could have had a very different outcome.
Yeah. And those are the things you don't want to have to cut back on or no not way. Have at all. And
no way.
That's why we're here, and we will be here talking about this more in the future. Kathy Anderson here with Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. One really quick break, and we'll conclude this morning on a News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson here this morning with Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. If you missed the beginning, you can go back and re-listen to this, because it's pretty powerful stuff about we all are struggling, Kathy, but in Powerhouse especially right now with really some budget needs, and this is a chance for the community to step forward. So many times the community steps forward with I mean, you do.
I always think that, yeah.
With so yeah. many things, and here we go now. And this is a big one.
Right. You know, we had that fire in 2022 yeah. at our shelter, lightning strike fire. And I was like, oh, my gosh, the community is so good, so helpful. And I always know our community does step up. And, you know, we're talking about it this morning. Like, is it a few new people? You know, is it a few new people that say, I can do something, I can help? And I'm always amazed when people, you know, take that step. It's like, oh, OK, I can help with that. You know, we talked about the website, the donate buttons on there. This is the last day of registering for our golf tournament, and then things close down, so it's not too late. But I would say our time is so divided. You know, like, our time is so, I don't even know why I use the word divided. It's limited. And I, you know, what do I need from folks? So many things. But I might not have time to have a conversation with you today. But that's just because we're trying to make it all work. We're trying to get yeah. people served, and we're trying to keep up with everything. So I welcome people to come on, but I might not be able to give people the time that they might like to for a chat, although I do try. But you know, if people can help, that is really financially, that would be really helpful right now.
This is a financial situation, and $200,000 to in that's something that's doable.
You know, I was like doing the math just a minute ago on the calculator on my phone, and you know, I was like, okay, well, that's 1 month of our expenses, you know, and it's not that's the magic number. I mean, we still need to raise what we would normally raise this year. That's yep. already in our budget. But it's like that extra amount is going to, you know, sink or swim. We, you know, what does next year look like if we don't raise that this year? Not good. Not good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The issues we talk about are just, they're heartbreaking. They're terrifying. And you want to have the people in place, and you have the people in place, but you want to be able to keep these programs and just the education that you do in the community.
People are doing it. I mean, that's the fabulous thing. We have people going to the schools, going to the hospital, going to court, but you know, they're out. And so, like, we need people to answer the phone. Like, one of the positions I didn't rehire, somebody who goes to court and also answers our hotline. So, you know, just like one person down, everybody feels it.
I was going to say, that's a huge. Those are big deals. And if for the person on the other end of the phone to not mm-hmm. have that, or to have that person, there's someone not to be able to be with you in court, that's an important thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sugarcoat it. We were talking about it yesterday morning, and when I heard it in the voice of our employees, how much they're struggling to help people.
Yeah.
based on economic issues and high rents and how they're going to help these people move forward and just lift them up and, you know, cradle them, if you will, like how to get them through this crisis. And when I was hearing those struggles, you know, they're struggling. Other people in the community are struggling. We're struggling. So like, how do we communicate with people? And that phone call from my coworker, it's like, we got to call Ted Schubel. And then you emailed. I was like, oh my goodness.
It was a God thing that
it was a God thing.
It all mm-hmm. came together like that. And there is this community and this issue in the community, and we'll continue to talk about it because, like you say, it is a giving community, but it is a community that does need to do something right now because there really are the needs. And I actually was going to talk to you about, with the economy the way it is, are you seeing more, you know, in uptick and. This is what we need to talk about, and we will mm-hmm. talk about it. So we'll do more. Yeah. EmpowerhouseVA.org. EmpowerhouseVA.org. The hotline number, 373-9373.
EmpowerhouseVA.org. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Most winner the VA. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. We'll talk again. EmpowerhouseVA.org.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.